Today, the shame of vacant property in a time of homelessness. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, notice post covering finance and property news. Back in 2021, the census revealed a shocking 1 million homes were unoccupied. That actually was the number of properties not returning a census form on census night. So it may not tell the full story, but as is discussed in the show titled The 1 Million Vacant Homes Question, this is an important issue. Nevertheless, the statistic at the time sent housing commentators, government agencies and policymakers into a spin, but has since slid from the agenda, despite the fact that at a time of significant housing shortages, this extra million homes would surely make a big difference. They could provide housing for some homeless, ease the rental affordability crisis, and get first home owners into their first home. Actually, there was a great deal of speculation about how this was happening. Was it caused by overseas millionaires buying up housing and leaving them as empty investments? Is it Airbnb taking out homes that could be used for families? Or are cashed-up Gen Xers double consuming by living in one house while renovating another? People actually, though, preferred to look away and left it to the market to sort out. But of course, it hasn't. And now we have a new survey from economic research organisation Prosper Australia looking at empty houses in Melbourne from 2019 to 2023. The report, Speculative Vacancies Edition 11, makes the point that while around 30,000 people in Victoria have no home, it's hard to quantify the number of homes that have no people. This they attempt to do. They label empty homes as speculative vacancies because, regardless of the reason for leaving them empty, the outcome is the same: an asset that provides social value only by housing people remains unused, squandering its potential. Holding an asset for capital gain rather than yield is called speculation, so they extend that term to housing that yields no housing service. And whilst you might argue that leaving properties empty is a private decision reflecting the market allocating resources, they argue that there are public interest reasons to be concerned about vacant property. First, they say it's wasteful for homes to sit idle while housing remains scarce and expensive. Whether this is efficient in the economic sense says nothing about whether it's equitable. Nudging even a portion of those homes into use could make housing cheaper for those in need. They say we need systematic attention to this issue. Second, they say it shows us something important about housing markets, that housing supply is at the mercy of speculative incentives. Empty dwellings are just the tip of the iceberg. Speculation plays a much larger role in the practice of land banking, where land is parcelled out slowly to maximise future profits. There is clear evidence that developers strategically delay financially feasible developments and set prices for land and new dwellings to drip feed property to buyers. To understand housing supply, we have to understand this phenomenon, because new housing supply can only begin when speculation ends. And finally, vacancy and land banking underscores the unique role of land in a competitive market. Could a firm leave productive assets idle? Speculation happens because land is a monopoly. Tax and housing policy must acknowledge this reality. Policy design must begin with a recognition that land is limited, that it rewards its owners regardless of their effort, and that it captures the benefits of social progress in rising rents and prices. To assess vacancy, Prosper measured vacancy rates across metropolitan Melbourne using data from Melbourne's three water retailers, Yarra Valley Water, South East Water, and Greater Western Water. The data comprises postcode level counts of dwellings with active water connections, i.e. they get bills, covering 233 postcodes and 93% of resident property across 31 council areas making up metropolitan Melbourne. They actually exclude 33 postcodes corresponding to holiday home areas, leaving around 200 postcodes with 1.9 million dwellings. Almost all dwelling units in Melbourne are actually individually metered, unlike some other capital cities. So this is a very accurate measure, much more accurate than the census approach. The long-term vacancy rates they report, by the way, are not comparable to the rental vacancy rates reported by real estate analysts such as SQM and REIV, which are calculated as a share of the rental stock under advertisement. So Prosper uses two thresholds of water use to count vacant homes. First, empty homes with 0 litres per day used over the calendar year, and underused homes between 0 and 50 litres per day used across the calendar year. And they found that of the 1.9 million dwellings with active connections in the study area, in 2023, 27,408 dwellings, or 1.5% of the total, recorded 0 water use. And an additional 70,453 dwellings, or 3.7% of the total, used less than 50 litres per day, or 1/4 of the average single person household use. So in total, they came up with around 97,861 dwellings that sat empty or were underused over the entire year, 5.2% of all dwellings in metropolitan Melbourne, or 1 in 20 homes. Those vacant dwellings represents a huge pool of valuable resources not being used productively, they say, and at the average household size, they could accommodate over 250,000 people. To illustrate the scale of Melbourne's empty housing stock, consider that there are 48,620 applicant households on the Victorian social housing waitlist. Melbourne's vacant homes could house everyone on the waitlist twice over. There are 540,000 rental properties in Melbourne. If vacant homes were all put out for rent, the rental stock would be almost 20% larger. The number of vacant homes equals more than 2.5 years' worth of new construction. During COVID times, by the way, speculative vacancies shot up by 51%. Only in 2023, with migration at record levels and the rental crisis in full swing, did the number of empty homes begin returning to pre-COVID levels. But the vacancy rate still remains elevated. Rental prices are 32% higher than in 2019, yet the number of empty homes remains 25% higher than in 2019, and the number of empty or unused homes remains 43% higher. Melbourne's middle ring suburbs have historically had the highest vacancy rates. In Prosper's latest report, the top 5 postcodes by zero use vacancy rates in calendar year 2019 cover the suburbs of Burwood, Box Hill, Malvern, Hawthorn, and Glen Waverley. While these remain the case in 2023, long-term vacancy is becoming less concentrated in the middle ring, with new pockets of vacant properties appearing in central and outer Melbourne. Looking at local government areas, the 5 areas with the highest vacancy rates in 2019, Whitehorse, Darebin, Borroondura, Mondash and Moreland, all located in the middle ring, all saw either a reduction or no change in zero-use vacancy rates over the 4 years to 2023. The LGAs with the highest growth in zero vacancies, on the other hand, were Melbourne, Wyndham, Casey, Port Phillip and Maribyrnong. The first 4 of those located in central or outer Melbourne. As the outer metropolitan vacancy rates increase, it seems vacancy is becoming more widely dispersed across the city, they said. And they make the point that vacancy is actually not well understood. There is little research on what drives it, partially due to limited measurement. Empty properties offer more options, they say. If rents are low, landlords can avoid locking in low returns and the challenge of raising rents later. When sale prices are low, vendors can postpone sale, leaving the property untenanted to ensure that the buyer pool includes owner-occupiers. If an owner plans to occupy their property in the future, keeping it empty makes this easier. The idea that property owners balance flexibility against yield is a catch-all explanation for many and varied situations. When flexibility is valued highly, leaving property empty is rational. As a stylized numerical example, with a net rental yield of 2.5% and a 5% sale price premium on an untenanted home, an investor waiting for optimal selling conditions could profit by keeping it vacant for up to 2 years. The value of flexibility over yield is higher when yields are low and properties valued more significantly as a growth investment asset. This has been the case in recent decades with low and falling interest rates. Taxing capital gains less than rental income reinforces this trend. Flexibility is also more valuable amid market and policy uncertainty, such as during the pandemic years. So many investors with departing tenants may have left property empty to await a rental market recovery or be ready for sale, anticipating a prompt end to restrictions. And of course, what has happened recently is in Melbourne, the listings of investment properties for sale has gone through the roof. All up, Prosper says land speculation is fundamental to land markets, a consequence of the natural monopoly that Churchill called the mother of all other forms of monopoly. In this context, empty homes are just the tip of the iceberg. It is evidently wasteful that 35,000 extra dwellings were vacated and left empty throughout 21 and 2022, and that the equivalent of 2.5 years of new construction still sits idle. It speaks to worsening wealth inequality manifested in unequal access to housing. The waste in land banking is less obvious, they say, and its implications for housing are underappreciated. Vacant homes illustrates the underlying process of speculative withholding, in which landowners trade away yield for flexibility and the prospect of rising asset prices. This process is also the root cause of land banking, a barrier to faster housing supply. This has been a significant focus of Prosper's work, yet it's still ignored in housing debates. And they conclude, tax reform can help. Shifting tax off productive activity and onto land rents, the efficient and equitable sort of public finance, can undermine the incentives to withhold land from productive use and to make the most of our common wealth. So 3 points quickly. Firstly, there is clearly a much bigger question around underutilized property than many want to accept. It is not necessarily appropriate just to leave it to the markets to sort out. The truth is that local authorities do not actually know very much about what property is vacant. So step one needs to be a better register of vacant property. Step two needs to allow some flexibility if people are trading, etc. But also, if property is held in a long-term unused state, it's an asset that should be used. And I think there's a role here for government intervention. And step three, I think we need a more methodical approach, because if in fact the findings for Melbourne are anything like right, then across the country, we actually have enough vacant property to house everybody who needs somewhere to live. That is an amazing and stunning thought, and it's one which politicians need to embrace and chase after. The trouble is that with neoliberalism saying, let the markets be the markets, people don't want to intervene. As a result of that, people are left homeless, whilst others are sitting on empty homes. It's nuts. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultant standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high. Price discovery and price transparency are hard to find. And then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer.
I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.